Good morning. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Mark's gospel, the sixth chapter, beginning with the first verse. Now Jesus left that place and came to his hometown. His disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were surprised. Where did this man get all of this? What's this wisdom that he's been given? And what about the powerful acts that he's been accomplished through him? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't he Mary's son, the brother of James and Joseph, Judas and Simon? And aren't his sisters here with us? And they were repulsed by him, and they fell into sin. Jesus said to them, prophets are honored everywhere except in their own hometown, among their relatives, and in their own households. He was unable to do any miracles there except that he placed his hands on a few sick people and healed them. He was appalled by their disbelief. Then Jesus traveled through the surrounding villages, teaching. He called for the 12 and sent them out in pairs. He gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey except a walking stick, no bread, no bag, and no money in their belts. He told them to wear sandals, but not to put on an extra shirt. He said, whatever house you enter, remain there until you leave that place. If a place doesn't welcome you or listen to you, as you leave, shake the dust off of your feet as a witness against them. So they went out and proclaimed the people should change their hearts and lives. They cast out many demons, and they anointed many sick people with olive oil, and they healed them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. It touches deep within us. It penetrates the hard outer shell that we create for ourselves, and it reminds us of a deeper and a more noble purpose than we realize. Help us, O God, to find the true spirit that you call each of us to, and help us to bind our lives together so that no one shall be lost. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning again. My name is Steve. So if it's okay with you, I'm going to lose the name tag because it's about ready to fall off anyway. I wanted to start by asking you very simply, how many of you had a good night's rest last night? Did you have a good sleep? Yeah. That's good for you. I'm glad you did that. Today has been a stressful day for us. We've been looking forward to meeting you for so long, finding out who you are, and I suspect that you're doing the same. How many of you showed up this morning to check out the new guy? Yeah, okay. At least you're honest about it. What about the rest of you? Okay. And some of you have traveled before we arrived and came and checked us out, make sure who we were. And believe it or not, we've been checking you out. We've been reading about you in the paper and in the good section, too, I might add. We're curious about who you are and about what we will become. Bishop William Williman, who is now the dean of the chapel at Duke University, said, you know, your first sermon is really like dating for the first time. It's like going on a blind date. You know, you're trying to check each other out. You're trying to put your best foot forward. You're trying to appear in a certain way. You're trying to seem more noble than what you may be. For example, you know, today as I stand up here, as I thought about, what do I want to say to you on our first Sunday? All of these thoughts are running through your mind, perhaps, about why do we go through these kind of changes? Why did they have to happen? Why? Maybe your life today, maybe there's some part of your life that is in transition. All of us are in a time of transition, and we say, why do things have to change? Why can't they just stay the way they were? You know, when we're dating, we kind of try and look and express ourselves in a special way. This morning, I want to appear to you like I know what I'm doing. But I don't want to come across as cold and aloof and indifferent. I want to engage you in kind of a conversation I want you to think about what we're all about, but I don't want to come off and tell you some goofy story. I don't want to seem comical or kind of silly. We're in that funny relationship right now. We're kind of in a time of a honeymoon period. I'm asking questions of myself as I look out at you. I got up this morning and I kind of thought, you know, I think today there are probably going to be close to 400 eyes that are going to be examining all that I do, all that I say, and maybe even what I do with my hands, right? Well, he seems too tall, or he talks funny. He doesn't really connect with me. I wish it were more like the way it was. So I'm here asking those kind of questions as I look back in your eyes and say, are they going to allow us into their lives to hear their story, to know their faith journey, to experience with them doing life and faith together? Why can't things just stay the way they are? So I struggled for a long time trying to figure out, what do I want to say to these people today? What is it that I would like to say, and how should I come across, and how do I put my best foot forward, and how do I seem fun and engaging and yet not silly? How do I seem like I understand what we can do together but not seem cold and distant? And I finally settled on coming back to an old pastor that I've known for a very long time. Started a number of churches in the past and actually has mentored thousands more. His name is the Apostle Paul. And Paul had a church in Corinth that was kind of going through a transition period. And as a matter of fact, the church was beginning to fracture. Seams begin to develop. And people that, because they hate change, because they hate transition, they were beginning to develop camps, little cliques within themselves. I like it this way, and I want it that way. And Paul addressed the community about that he had started and that he was shepherding. And as we begin our journey together, that hopefully will last weeks, months, and maybe even years, as we begin this journey together, I want us to think about Paul's words. And if you find that you're in a time of transition yourself, personally, professionally, spiritually, physically, if you're in a time of transition, then Paul's words will speak to you as well. I wanted to choose a passage that comes. It's about moving forward. And I wanted to choose a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul is talking about this group that is undergoing time of transition. So hear the word of God this morning. This is what Paul writes. He says, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential, and not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom of God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquent or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." This is the word of God for the people of God. What is Paul saying to a church that is undergoing tension, undergoing change, to his community? What is he saying to us as we reevaluate our faith journey? The first thing that Paul says to these people is he reminds them, you are called by God. Now, that seems like very simple and good advice, but think about the power that God is not interested in more consultants. He doesn't need more advice. He doesn't need your recommendation. God calls you to a special purpose. And so oftentimes what happens is we focus more on what our needs are. How many times are your prayers to God filled with, God, let me tell you what you need, what I need, because I have a feeling you don't know what it is, because I'm not getting what I need. Paul reminds them of one central truth about our lives. It's not all about me. And so as I struggled trying to figure out, how am I going to impress these people? How am I going to say the right thing? How do I get the right stories, the right illustrations in the right place so that you're entertained? And it's not all about you. I called you. If you're in a time of difficulty, if you're in a time of transition, if you're struggling maybe emotionally, God has called you, God has equipped you to be there. The first thing that Paul does for these people is he reminds them. He said, think of what you were when you were called. What Paul is asking is think about how far you have already come. He says, you weren't of noble birth. You weren't the best and the brightest. You're not here because you deserve to be here. You are here because God has called you out of darkness into something better. If you're in a time of transition, maybe it's because he's calling you to something better still. Are you ready for that better still? See, the fundamental truth that we have as believers in Christ, of who God is by his very nature, we believe that God sees farther than we can see. God knows what's up ahead. God knows more than what we know. And God has a better future than what we can understand. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul goes on to say, no eye has seen, no ear heard, no mind conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. We have to trust God in our times of transition, our times of uncertainty. We have to understand that God has your best interests at heart, and we have to release our fear and our anxiety. The question that Paul is asking his community, are you willing really to trust God, unknown God, with your unknown future? As we begin a new life together, a new journey together, as we begin to get to know one another, are you willing to accept that God has our best interest, even when we're not sure what it is? We trust that God has us in the right place at the right time to do the right job. The second thing that Paul seems to indicate is that God calls us, but then God also is going to challenge us. You see, one of the fundamental truths about the human nature is we all love three primary things in our lives, three primary focuses. One, we love comfort, we love convenience, and we love control. If you eliminate any of those three, we will seek out how to get it back, how to restore status quo. We understand that change happens in life. We understand that it should happen to other people. We just don't like when it happens to us. And yet we know that it's true. And God is going to challenge us to give over all of those things that are holding us back. They're really holding us back. As long as you try to maintain a life of comfort and convenience, you'll never really discover all that God has in store for you. Let me see if I can give you an example. How many of you have had teenagers in your household? Aren't they wonderful species? They really are. But imagine that you have a teenager and they've grown up in your house, so you've known how to feed them, how to water them, how to do their laundry, and you know how you have a schedule, and you take them where they need to be, to school and to sporting events. Now, you, as a parent, you're comfortable, you know what your job is, they're comfortable, they know what their job is. Now, imagine as a parent, you just said, hey, look, this is working, let's just stay like this forever. It's comfortable, it's convenient, you know, I'll drive you for the rest of your life where you need to be, and I'll take care of you. That would be insane. But think about what it would do to your child. You wouldn't challenge them anymore. They could just stay as a child the rest of their life. They would be comfortable and convenient. But they would also be deeply, deeply immature and disturbed. They would never really know what it's like to flourish. We have to, at some point, push them to take care of themselves, to clean their room. Because there's a time at which you want something even better for them. Your Heavenly Father is no different. He sees even more that you could have, a deep, abiding serenity. But sometimes we need a push. And maybe you're in that moment right now where you're saying, I feel really uncomfortable. My life is in transition. I don't know why God is doing this to me. Because he sees something better in store for you. God's view of your life is not as limited as yours is. Yours is deeply limited by time and space, and God doesn't have that problem. God sees farther than you can see, he knows more than you know, and he has a better future than you can prepare for yourself. Our greatest challenges are to overcome our fear, our anxiety, and our fear of rejection. So here's the final here's the last question I want to ask you. How is your faith being challenged today? Is your faith in what God is doing, has it become kind of routine? Well, I get up on Sunday, I go in, I do my time, and I go home, and that's about the... God wants to challenge you. He wants to grow you. He wants you to see something deeper, something even more magical and more mysterious than what you can imagine. How are you being challenged? I got to tell you, the fact that I'm here, I'm being challenged. I'm being changed. But I believe that God has asked me to come so that I can learn from you. There are things that I need in my life that only you can teach me. I'm going to be learning from you, your stories, how you interact with one another, what it is that draws the best out of you. I would rather be in a place that is much more comfortable and convenient and everything is easy and it's predictable and it's incredibly boring. God wants me to do exciting things, and I want to be a part of doing it with you. The last thing that God does is he calls us. He challenges us because more than anything, God wants to change us. We all need change in our life. We avoid it. We know we need it, but we avoid it and we shy away from it. Why does God want to change these people? He said, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Don't limit yourself by just what you can do. Focus on what God wants to do through you. The bigger picture, the bigger vision of what life is really all about, how much richer and how much more beautiful it can be when we give away our control and our comfort and convenience and experience the abundance that is prepared for you. Challenge breeds change. You're going to change simply by being a part of God's kingdom. Begin to adapt. Let God work within you. But what is it that God's trying to do? In Ezekiel chapter 36, God, speaking through the prophet Ezekiel, says, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Think about that. Think about what God is saying. Right now, maybe you have somebody that you know that you would say, they're dealing with a cold, stony, prickly, hard heart. And God said, I can see that. And if I can work with you, we can replace that with a warm, compassionate, responsive heart. God sees what we can see, what we can be, where we can go together. If you're dealing with anxiety in your life, with your relationships, maybe even with your church, maybe it's time to recognize that God has called you to this place. He's equipped you because he wants to challenge you to see yourself differently in order that he can begin to change you into the image of Christ. In a minute, we're going to have an opportunity to share in the sacrament God's promise to you through Christ that he will not leave you or forsake you. If you will open yourself up to him, if you allow God to work through you, he promises on the life of his own son, he promises to you that he will take care of all of those details that we so fixate on. So as you come this morning, as you share in the sacrament, think through those questions. What is God calling me to do? What is God challenging me? Where am I being challenged to step up into an uncomfortable situation? Maybe it's just talking to somebody that lives next door to you, or the person in the cubicle at work next to you. Because God wants to change fundamentally how you see yourself. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day, for the opportunities, for the future, and for especially for the Apostle Paul's advice. Help us, O God, to give over all that we are and all that we have to your vision. In Jesus' name, amen.